The last word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Well, the government has announced plans today to end direct provision, a system which has been in place for way, way too long and has led to all sorts of bad outcomes for everybody involved. We're joined by the Minister for Children Equality, Disability Integration and Youth, Roderick O'Gorman, who is bringing forward the proposals to end direct provision. Thank you for joining us, Minister. How do you intend to do this?
Thanks for having me on, Matt. We're bringing forward our proposal to end direct provision and introduce a new international protection support service. And this is going to provide accommodation for people coming to Ireland seeking asylum in two phases. For their first 4 months here, applicants will live in reception and integration centres. We envisage there'll be about six of these around the country. And in this period, applicants will receive a range of wraparound services. They'll receive English language support, there'll be childcare provided there, they'll have a vulnerability assessment and a health assessment as well, but they'll also be linked into job labour market activation services in the country as well. And as one of the reforms that Minister McEntee brought in earlier this year was that within 6 months of coming into the country, asylum seekers can seek to join the labour market and actually take up jobs here in Ireland. Phase two then of the accommodation system will kick in after 4 months, and this will be accommodation based in communities all over the country. And this accommodation will be supported by NGOs and approved housing bodies as well. And this will again continue the integration of people in the international protection system into communities around the country. We want to ensure that people are integrated from day one, that the current system whereby people are put into a hotel or at the edge of a town in an inaccessible place, we want to move completely away from that and ensure people are integrated from day one.
Well, then let's go back to the first phase, these communal centres for 4 months. Are these going to be new purpose-built facilities, or are you going to continue using the private sector provided accommodation as at present?
No, they'll be purpose-built, they'll be state-run, they'll be operated by my own department. And as I say, they'll have a range of wraparound services. There'll be state agencies there like TUSLA to help with issues around children. The Legal Aid Board will have facilities there in terms of giving legal advice to people making their application. And accommodation in these reception and integration centres, there'll be own door for families and there'll be own room for single people. And indeed, these reception integration centres, they were part of the recommendations coming from the Catherine Day report that was published last year and which influences a very significant part of the white paper.
And then in the second phase, where are you going to get the accommodation for that?
Well, we're going to work with approved housing bodies. We're going to work with the housing agency. We've built up a very strong relationship with the housing agency over the last number of months, and we appreciate the support from the Department of Housing on this. So we'll use that those expertise that are there at the moment. We may eventually even devise our own AHB specifically designed to provide accommodation for people in the international protection system.
But Minister Roderick O'Gorman, is that going to be achievable? Because we already have such major backlogs when it comes to the provision of social housing and delays in getting things built. Do you really think that you'll be able to provide these facilities even if you have the best of intentions?
I do, because we're not putting this job onto the Department of Housing. This will be work that will be undertaken by my own department. And I know the Department of Housing is absolutely focused on dealing with the housing crisis in the country at the moment. There's that commitment in the programme for government to deliver 50,000 additional social housing units over the lifetime of this government. And Minister O'Brien is absolutely committed to this. So this will be work undertaken by my own department, supported by the housing agency and supported by approved housing bodies as well.
So it's February 2021. When do you expect to have all of these various facilities in place?
We believe the new system will be fully up and running by December 2024. So that gives us the opportunity to put in place the reception and integration centres, the community accommodation, and at the same time wind down the existing direct provision centres across the country.
How much is it all going to cost?
The yearly current cost of it will be $175 million, and I suppose that's in the context of this year. My department is budgeting $225 million for the cost of the existing direct provision system. There will also be a very significant capital cost to it, and I fully accept that. We've kind of got a range of somewhere between $450 and $650 million. But I think we also have to remember that the state has put in over €1 billion into direct provision over the last 20 years. We don't have anything to show for that. We don't have any resources. We don't have any assets. And we have a system that everyone believes has been subpar. So by putting in these capital costs now, we will have these reception integration centres, these community housing units that can be used into the future as people move in and move out of the system.
And if you have these reception centres and then the integrated housing afterwards, are you going to put a cap on the number of people who would be allowed into the country in a year so as to make sure that there wouldn't be additional facilities required on top of those?
Well, I think from the point of view of international law, I don't think we can put a cap on the number of people seeking asylum in the country. But I think we will have a system designed that recognises that there can be years where there is increases in number of applicants if there's a particular humanitarian crisis in some part of the world. And we will have contingencies built into the system to allow for that.
Okay, what is this going to do though for people who are still in the direct provision system? You know, how many people at present are living in the direct provision system, and what's sort of the average duration of the time they're having to spend in it?
We have about 7,700 people in the system at the moment. And as you say, one of the biggest challenges that they face is the processing time, the time with which both their initial application and a subsequent appeal is held, is taken. So that's why significant resources are also been invested in the Department of Justice to actually speed up the processing time. I know Minister McEntee, when she took office, she took steps, she created a specific team working within her department to focus on bringing down the time frame within which the decisions are made. They've implemented a new information technology system there to move away from the very paper-based system they were using up to this point. And there are also going to be reforms made to both the International Protection Office and the Refugee the Appeals Tribunal. And by doing this, we will ensure that both new people coming into the system, but also those at the moment, can get a decision made in a much more rapid time frame.
Okay, Minister, while I have you there, I just want to ask you a couple of things about the Mother and Baby Homes Commission as it comes towards the end of the work. What regrets do you have about what has happened in relation to that commission during your time as minister?
Well, I suppose in recent weeks, the upset that has been, the very significant upset that has been done to survivors by the issue of the deletion of the tapes is something that I certainly regret. I worked very hard on to resolve that in terms of my own engagement with the department. And I was pleased, my own engagement with the commission, and I was pleased to be able to, working with the commission, secure access to the data of these audio files, and these will be transferred over to my department in the context of the archive of the commission being transferred. And once the archive is transferred to my department will be overseeing access to these files and to all the archive for survivors, so they can access personal information through the application of GDPR.
How confident are you now, though, that the people affected by all of this can be happy with the situation that they're in now, that they have been looked after sufficiently by the government?
Well, look, I think people want to see delivery. And following the publication of the report, the government set out 22 actions that we intend to take to address the many different needs of survivors. For some survivors, access to that information we just talked about is absolutely paramount. For others, it's about the dignified reburial of the remains of babies and children who died in these institutions. For others, it's about access to health supports in the form of an enhanced medical card or some sort of redress system. So each of those Each of those needs of survivors have been acknowledged by the government, but it's up to us now to address them, to bring forth the necessary legislation, to bring in the redress scheme and access to medical cards, and in terms of, I suppose, the information tracing, which is one of the really crucial elements. We've set a very tight time frame for bringing forward heads of bill the end of March, early April. These can then be scrutinised in the Dáil and be hopefully brought through the Dáil very quickly and give survivors access to that birth cert and their early life information.
We're going to leave it there. Thank you very much for joining us, Minister Roderick O'Gorman.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.